Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, for the gift of your Word. Implant it in our hearts and in our lives right now again, that we might think more clearly when we walk out of here what really our gifts are all about that we bring. We want you to be honored and praised and to use your Word to us right now. In your Son, Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday morning, we focused on the currency of Christmas. And in light of the world's kingdom, we may wish to spend less this year with the problems in our economy. But in another aspect, we think about God's kingdom, we may want to spend more in grace, in kindness, in prayer. It was a good beginning to our Christmas focus last Sunday. An invitation to push back against overspending and overconsumption during the holidays is perhaps a pretty good idea for most of us here. We are growing weary again, aren't we, of the holiday ad campaigns that seem to start earlier and earlier every year. Families are still struggling to find the connection between Christmas wish lists and the story of Jesus' birth. And in fact, we often end up in January with not only financial debt, but emotional emptiness. Because sifting through the piles of things we don't really need and never intend to really use, something deep inside tells us we missed it. Something's missing again. Whatever it is our soul longs for at this time of the year. And now, if we are invited to rebel just a little bit against the craziness of spending less in this world system, at the same time, I believe we are encouraged to give more. That sounds to many people to be a contradiction. Spend less, but give more. I believe we can all agree here this morning that there is still something deeply moving and beautiful about receiving certain gifts. Think about just a few of the most memorable gifts that you have ever received. What made them so memorable that you still remember them right now? It probably wasn't that new Lexus in the driveway that has the big red bow on top that Jeff made reference to last Sunday. He didn't get it. I didn't get it. You probably didn't get it. For most of us, the special gift that we can still kind of remember as we think back over the years was a different kind of a gift because it was a relational gift. The best gifts celebrate a relationship. The reason I keep a simple frame with a picture of Kath and Brian and Tamara on my desk isn't because it's some extraordinary work of a photographer. It is because it is God's gift of family to me. And when I look at it, I am reminded of three people who love me. And our relationship is still something to cherish and celebrate again and again. It sounds so obvious, I guess, but the straightforward truth of Christmas is that the Father gave His one and only Son. He gave more. He modeled giving more. God's answer to the world's problems has never been material things. He never promised to just give us more stuff, even good stuff. He gave us instead Himself, so that we could have a relationship with Him. This simple truth is why giving is still a really good thing to do, a good thing to think about, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And it also points to a way out of the chaos of consumerism that Christmas, I guess, has become. Taking us back to maybe the simplicity, maybe the joy that can still be found at the heart of this story we review every single year. Our giving more can actually reflect in some small way the power and the beauty of God coming into our world as one of us. If you brought a Bible with you this morning, would you turn with me to the Gospel of John and chapter 1? John chapter 1, verse 1 is God's explanation through the pen of John, what we call the incarnation. Now, that's a word you probably don't see there in your translation at all, but the writers of Scripture describe it so powerfully that we cannot deny its reality. The incarnation is that moment when Jesus, the divine Son of God, from the eternal Father, entered our story as a human baby. I mean, almost everybody admits to the existence of a man named Jesus who lived in a place called Palestine, I guess a long time ago. While this is certainly an important aspect of the incarnation, that Jesus lived on this earth as a human, we know it means more than that simple historic act itself. The miracle of Christmas is that the infinite became finite. An infant fully human and still fully God. Unique. This profound truth is at the heart of our faith here this morning. Why we've met together. It unites us together, and it's John who pens it, describes it so absolutely beautiful. John opens up his gospel message with this. You see, in the beginning was the Word. It's John's term for his friend, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. That was a different John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He even came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as did, as many as have received him, he gave them the right to become the children of God, that is, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born again of God. Now listen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and in fact the Word was God. And he created all things, and without him, there is nothing that we have today that he didn't have a part in. He didn't bring into existence. The baby Jesus not only made us people, he formed the whole world and the universe by his spoken word. That little baby was God. Unfortunately, these familiar words, I'm afraid, have come to be kind of stale to many of us. We seem to rush by these amazing claims, and when we do, we lose something of the power and the magnificence of John's words. Here's another modern translation of just one verse. Before time itself was measured, the voice was speaking, and the voice was and is God. And this voice remained ever present with the Creator. His speech shaped the entire world. See, that's who Jesus is. John has no problem telling us that Jesus of Nazareth was more than a gifted rabbi and friend for him. Jesus is more than some extraordinary human being. Jesus was and is and forever will be God. So when we read, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we understand that to be the miracle of the incarnation. God taking on flesh. Now, kind of a silly picture of this, ladies, is when you go to City Market, this word, incarnation, you may see on some labels. I guess I never shop at City Market, but Kathleen does. And if she went to find chili con carne, what does that mean? Ladies, that means chili with meat. Carnation. We still use that. Incarnate. That's the word. God taking on skin and bones and blood and us. Incarnation. The one who spoke the world into existence, moved into our neighborhood, if you please, in an act of humble love, the likes of which the world has never known before. It's not just that Jesus is God, it's that Jesus, as God, chose to become us. A modern, beautiful little picture of the incarnation may be the child who gets scared at night in his bed and calls out for mom and dad. You've been there, maybe you're there now. Dad finally comes into the room and says, "Son, we're here. Son, you know that Jesus is in your heart. Jesus is in this room. You don't need to be afraid, son." And his response, "Dad, I know God is in my heart. I want someone with skin on." That's incarnation. We needed to know God with skin on. We need to know who the eternal Father was all about. God everlasting, and so he sent himself incarnate with flesh, God with us. Let's face it, one of the really big pressures each Christmas season is coming up with more and more gift ideas. And for some, the pressure seems to increase as we decide, well, we better not just this year just stop at the store and get Grandpa another sweater. He didn't wear it. We better think of something better, something more. We actually got to think a little bit. What are we going to do? What are we going to get? Let's be more creative. And with just a few days left, some of us are worried we won't come up with anything meaningful. I tell you that the incarnation suggests that perhaps the best gift idea is to give yourself to someone. It's so easy to fall back on communication and connections that, well, they kind of produce a pseudo-community. You know, we call, it's good. We email, great. We text. We Facebook. We tweet. Well, some of you tweet, whatever that is. I understand these can be important and good forms of communication, but they can never replace the flesh and blood aspect of having a relationship with Him. It's got to be there. We need that with each other. When we take time to actually be with someone, it's a gift. It's a relational gift. The giving of our time and our presence to another is not a new concept, but it is a neglected one. I say this Christmas, not only spend less on material things, but give more of yourself to somebody else. Our kids answered those questions very well, didn't they? I was listening. They knew the right answer. Now, whether that's going to translate into the same reactions on Christmas morning, we don't know. Because they're going to expect probably more than hugs, even though they voted for that. They're hoping to open up something a little better, but they said the right thing. Are we going to just say the right thing as well? Thank you for another gift card. Thank you, dear. It's $10 more than last year. And the world says that speaks love when we give a little bit more this year, and it helps the economy. So buy up in the next few days. God says, I don't care about that. I want you to give yourself to somebody. My time, my effort, my connections, my heart, my words. That's the message of His Christmas. God modeled giving more. How could He possibly give more than to give Himself in the incarnation? God taking on flesh. We need to take the whole spending thing, last Sunday's theme, to the next level of giving more. And on Christmas Eve, we'll take the next step. I hope if you're in the area, you'll be with us. Worship fully. And then next Sunday, we're going to love all. So think about giving something more this year than just the stuff that you got planned to wrap up. Those you love would really appreciate if you said something this year. Along with just, yeah, that's from me. Open it up. Do that. That's great. But say something. I love you. I love Him. God has been so good. He has blessed us so much. Say it. Show it. Give something more like God did. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He created everything. There isn't anything He didn't. He was there. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a gift with eternal dimensions for you and me. The gift of Himself in the form of this little baby who grew, who was born to die, to carry the weight of your sin and mine upon Himself. Get something better. Get something more than you even had figured out earlier today. Figure out a way to say it, to offer it, to show it, like God did by opening up His arms to us. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, He loved the world so much He gave the very best, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Didn't He do well? You'd have no interest in being here this morning, I don't believe, without His gift. We're not playing games. We're not going through some sort of religious ceremony. This is the body of Christ in action. This is brothers and sisters seeing and loving and worshiping Him and singing praises to Him like we've been doing here this morning. He loves it. He demonstrated it. He modeled it by giving more than you can ever imagine when he sent his Son incarnate to this earth so that you and I could say, now we know who God is. Now we know what he's all about. Now we even know what he looks like. He's Jesus. See? He's somebody you can cling to with skin on. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us more. Giving us so much more than stuff and presents and gifts and this and that. Thanks for giving us yourself in the form of your dear and only loved Son. Wow. A great demonstration, Father, of your heart to us. Now help us make the right transition this week to doing something like that for somebody else. Those we love might be here and they might not be here. They might be a long way from here. They might be in heaven already. But we have an opportunity in a few days to give the very best. That is to give of ourselves. And to show it, express it, and say it. Would you give us the courage to do that in a good way, in a proper way, in a way that reflects what you did for us? We can't even come close, Father, to what you've done. Thank you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. We have eternal life when we choose to follow you and let you reign as King of Kings in us. That's beautiful. It's wonderful. Help us in the next few days give more of ourselves to you. In his name, the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, incarnate child. Amen.